بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. الذي علم بالقلم. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
Drinking and gambling.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما
Produced and distributed by Knowledge Books and Audio.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continuing the journey of ma'asi, continuing the journey of sins, the common sins which exist in humanity. Unfortunately, even amongst the Muslims as well, we find that many of these clear-cut muharramat, forbidden issues, have become a common form of behavior even amongst this ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we stopped on mukhaddarat, or the taking of drugs. The greatest drug is none other than alcohol. That is the greatest form of drug that you find inside the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even on this earth that you find, on this planet, that the biggest consumption or the greatest evil and most dangerous drug is none other than khamr, is none other than liquor and alcohol. And that's why we find that we live in a time for these people is second nature to drink. It's a normality for them to take such a substance to such a degree that even when a child is born, they drink. And during the time of relationship or conception is in a state of drunkenness. So for them it's a norm to indulge in this relationship in a state of drunkenness, to celebrate when the child is born in a state of drunkenness, and proud when the first individual has their first drink. These are their statistics about the use of alcohol amongst their shabab, amongst their young people. 20% of 9 to 15 year olds have had their first alcoholic drink by the age of 8. By 15, 89% would have had their first drink. And amongst those 89% of young people, 12% from 11 to 15 year olds will become regular drinkers. That is their statistics about how their country, of how their people relate towards the use of khamr, of alcohol. Every single opportunity for these people revolves around khamr. Any joyous occasion of celebration revolves around alcohol. And even any form of regret or sorrow on the death of an individual, they will raise alcohol once again. How wretched these people are. From the beginning to the end, their life is just full of alcohol perversion in their life. And you find no wonder this society suffers from severe social problems. An alcoholic is 7 more times likely to divorce. The whole essence of abrupt social menace children come from an alcoholic background. It's something to think about. The high rates of crime that we find in this country or in the Western countries go back to one fundamental grassroot, and that is almost all crimes such as fighting, murder, rape, etc. are committed while they are under the influence of alcohol. Crime and disorder cost this government, related to alcohol, through the consumption of alcohol, cost this government £7.3 billion a year. It's something to think about, that they want to control crime, disorder, abrupt youth, hooliganism, alcoholism, and yet they don't look that they are spending so much to control this, when the essence of the problem is alcohol itself. It is not a form of relaxation or take your worries away, like what these people preach to us. It is an artificial excitement. It is nothing but something that numbs your brain. According to their professional individuals, they conclude it is an error to state that alcohol is good for workmen. It gives energy for work, or that it renews strength. Alcohol is useful to nobody. It is harmful to all. The habit of drinking leads to neglect of family, to forgetfulness, and of all social duties, alcohol and the human body. It's a book written by their own individuals that when they hide behind the veil that alcohol is a form of relaxation, of enjoyment, this is all total nonsense according to their own medics. And likewise we find that the real prohibition is inside the heart. Because these people have a lack of iman. That is why they cannot understand the concept of staying away from khamr. And that's why we find that these great United States of America, that when they banned liquor, when they banned alcohol, on January 16, 1920, until the 5th of December, 1933, for these 13 odd years, alcohol was made haram in the United States of America. Their own analysts, they recall and they write that alcohol became more predominant in society. So liquor has become haram for them, but yet their rise and the amount of people who began to turn to alcohol became even more. So they have to legalize it once again. And even this country pays only lip service to the control of alcohol, because they themselves call it the sins tax. Because alcohol and tobacco is one of the greatest revenues of this government. So they call it the sins tax. Recognize this is an ism. This is an evil action. But the benefit that these people take from it, there's only one place to turn. And in these days we find them legalizing the opening hours. The Metropolitan Police itself has highlighted to the government, you are only going to create corruption and disorder in your own country. are the words of the commission of this country, if you don't want to take it from the Muslim society, that to give people more access to liquor and haram and to alcohol will only create more problems inside your society. Islam revives the heart, Iman and the Quran. And that's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha stated that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially just revealed, stay away from khamr, none of the Arabs would have stayed away. But the Quran penetrated their heart. Aspects of the Quran came down bitadarruj at a gradual stage that people were ready that finally they need to abstain from the drinking of alcohol. That's how we find that these Arabs who were notorious drinkers became second nature for them to drink. Even the word tajir, a business merchant, if you go back to the logha, qamus of the Arabic language, you find tajir refers to the one who buys and sells alcohol. That is the initial meaning of tajir, who buys and sells alcohol and would raise a flag at his home that alcohol is present. Come and purchase alcohol from me. And if the flag was down, there was no alcohol that was present in that home. So this is the type of environment that you find. That the Quran came and it changed these people, made tabdeel, that these people stayed away from the drinking of alcohol. And that's how you find that people like Umar, who were known to drink and knew the evils of drinking, were always waiting and aspiring and hoping that ayat will come down to make the prohibition of khamr. Other great companions, like Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abu Dujana, were known for drinking amongst their society. But yet they had this guilty feeling inside their heart that it's something that needs to be prohibited. And we don't want to address the non-Muslims and their state. We want to recall ourselves, what is this tadarruj? What is this step-by-step forbiddance of alcohol inside the Quran? To remind ourselves that how severe of this sin, or the chastisement of this sin, or to indulge in the sin. And that's how we find such terminology in the Sharia. Ummul Khaba'ith, the mother of all evils. Ummul Fawahish, the mother of all illicit behavior. Akbarul Kaba'ir, from amongst the major sins. Ra'su Kulli Khati'a, the head of every single mistake and sin. Miftah Kulli Shar, the key to every single evil upon humanity or upon this world. That is how some of the ulama have described the terminology of alcohol. And as for the first ayah that occurs inside the Quran, because many people feel there's only three stages of making khamr haram. But there are four stages according to ulama of tafsir. The first stage that you find of making khamr haram, we find, وَمِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ, from the fruits of the good things, of nakhil, of the dates, wal-a'nab, of inab, of the grapes, تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا, you take from it a sweet drink, وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا, and a good provision. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتًا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, and that is ayat, لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, it's signs for people who have the aql. This is the first sign of tahrim al-khamr. Umar radiallahu ta'ala understood from this verse that there is haram in something haram about this sweet drink. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتًا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, that is the whole concept of the Quran. People who understand and perceive this, there is a sweet drink to be taken from the date and to be taken from the inner, from the grapes. But there's a hidden message inside this verse, a warning that will come to this Muslim ummah. إشارة خفي فهمها عمر وبعض الصحابة, a hidden message which Umar understood and some of the other companions understood this message. Everything has a good and an evil usage. And these people, everything good, they make it evil themselves. What is the essence of khamr? Khamr, according to the hadith, is made from five aspects, five good foods which have been given to the whole of this humanity. Khamr is based upon wheat, barley, dried grapes, dates or honey. All of these substances are halal for the Muslim ummah and for the rest of humanity. But these people, will take something halal and make it something haram. Because that is their mentality. As for the second concept, or the forbiddance of khamr, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Now the companions begin to ask. They ask you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the ruling about khamr and maysir? قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. Say, in these two substances, there is great danger. وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. And possibly some benefit for humanity. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. But the sin is far grave, far more dangerous than the benefit that you extract from gambling and alcohol. What is the benefit that people can take from alcohol? Petty benefits. Billions of dollars, billions of pounds are earned by this government through the revenue of incorporating tax upon alcohol. That is a concept that they hold in. And in during this process, if 7,000 deaths take place in this country due to alcohol, then it doesn't make a difference. Because the final goal is to gain those billions. So if 7,000 people die through the use and the consumption of alcohol, we don't care about them. And likewise today, black gold. Black gold is oil. And if millions of Muslims die in the process of extracting the black gold from the planet, then we don't care. Ya Ummata Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wake up and face reality. They don't care about their own people, so how are they going to care about us? For the extract of this black gold, what they call it, if millions are tortured, millions are imprisoned, thousands are raped, if the wealth is extracted from our land, then it serves a purpose. It's something we have to begin to think about, that we are living in a sleeping environment. To think that don't rock the boat. Don't talk about world politics and issues and the suffering of the Muslim Ummah. That you cannot even wake up and see the mentality of these people to seek our, take our honor and our glory and our property and let people suffer in front of our eyes. And these people are living in a state of sukara, in a state of drunkenness, in a physical drunkenness and the drunkenness of the soul. In what these people want to achieve. As Umar stated, khamr is everything that dulls the faculty of thinking. Al-khamr, as you find in the hadith, kama rawahu Imam Bukhari or Muslim, al-khamr ma ghab al-aql. Khamr is whatever takes away the mind. And from the same word khamr, in the Arabic language, you find khimar. Al-shay al-ladhi yastur. Khimar yughatti wajhu al-mar'a. The khimar that the woman wears is taken from the word khamr, to cover the face. Is an extraction for those ulama who hold the opinion that a woman needs to veil her face. Comes from the word khamr, khimar. But here you find once again the link that khamr is ma'ghab al-aql, yastur al-aql, which covers your brain, takes away the intellect of thinking. And that's why Uthman ibn Affan, he stated, Al-khamr robs the mind. Alcohol, liquor takes away your mind. And everything that has been robbed away from you never comes back to its normal state. Something's been robbed away from you will never return back to the normal condition. And that is what khamr does to the intellect of the human being. And that's how we find, kullu muskir khamr wa kullu khamr haram. Every single intoxication is something which is prohibited according to the sharia given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So khamr is not just wine, as some people perceive it, or the names that exist in our society. As the Shaykh Muhammad Iqbal Siddiqui, in his book talking about Islam forbids intoxicants and gambling, brings 35 names from Jahiliyyah, an existent name talking of the name of khamr. But what we find inside the Quran, al-khamr, al-sukr, Ar-Rahiq, and other such names that you find, Sharab and Tahura, indirectly talking about alcohol in the final world. And like how you find, that these people will drink, Min ka'sin kana mizajuha zanjabila, will drink from a glass of wine, mixed with zanjabil, mixed with ginger. So there is reference of khamr inside the Quran, in a good meaning towards the Akhirah, and in a bad meaning towards this dunya. As for a name that exists in our society today, call it whatever you want to call it. Champagne, vodka, whiskey, brandy. It is all khamar as far as the sharia is concerned. Rum, beer, ale, spirits. We don't deal with istalahat, with names. We deal with the concept of all of this is something which is khamar. And that's how you find that the third verse which talks about khamar. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la taqrabu as-salata wa antum sukara. Oh, you believe, don't come to prayer in a state of drunkenness. Hatta ta'lamu ma taqulun. Until you know what you are saying. Read the tafsir by Ibn Kathir. Many of the Sahaba would come to prayer in a state of drunkenness. كما ذكر ابن كثير في تفسيره. So now the Quran is telling them, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh, you believe, don't come to prayer in a state of drunkenness. How do some people understand this ayah today? People are taking khamr according to this verse, and then once they become sober, they return back to their prayer, justifying the Quran that it's allowed to drink, and then you can return back to your prayer. This ayah is mansukha. This ayah has become nullified and cancelled by the following verse inside the Quran. And there is no such verse in the Quran which makes something haram in this manner. As we find in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Verily indeed, in gambling and in drinking, and in slaughtering on the divine stones, the throwing of the divine arrows, رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ, is the handiwork of the shaytan. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Stay away from it if you want to be successful. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Shaytan only wants to create an animosity and hatred in the use of khamr and gambling. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, to take you away from the dhikr of Allah and to take you away from as-salah. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you not abstain from such evil actions? وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَاحْذَرُوا. Obey Allah and His Messenger. وَاحْذَرُوا. A warning has been given to you about alcohol and about gambling. And that's why we find in this verse the extractions, istinbat min hadhihi al-ayah, or hadhihi al-ayat, the lessons that we learn from these verses. As the ulama of usul al-fiqh have highlighted, ijtinab ashaddu min al-tahrim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states to us, hurrima alaykum, it's haram for you to do this action, is not as severe as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating to you, fajtanibuhu, ijtinab, stay away from this action, is more severe than hurrima alaykum, is the first extraction that we learn from this verse. The second extraction from this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has paralyzed or made a description of the person who drinks alcohol is placed as the individual who slaughters on the stone. Stones of the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers. The one who drinks alcohol is like an idol worshipper. As you find in the hadith, مُدْمِنُ الْخَمَرِ إِن مَاتَ لَقِيَ اللَّهِ كَعَابِدْ ثَمَنْ كَعَابِدْ وَثَنْ. The one who dies in a state of drunkenness, constantly drinking, addicted to alcohol, has died as the one who worships a statue, an idol. And this hadith, huwa sahih kama dhakara al-Shaykh al-Nasiruddin al-Albani, has been authenticated by the late Shaykh, muhaddith of hadith. The one who dies in a state of drunkenness, addicted to alcohol and liquor, is like one who died worshipping an idol or a statue. Something to think about. So tawheed, when these people who drink alcohol and liquor and addicted to drinking, they are dying in a state of idol worship. It's something to think about when people stand in defense of these people. There is no harm in these people. It's a relationship, a sin between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're addicted to alcohol, you're an idol worshipper, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we find clear prohibition and punishment in this world and inside the akhirah for that individual. He who drinks wine in this world and dies while he's addicted and not having repented, will never be given a drink in the hereafter, كما ذكره Imam Muslim. And that's why we find those people who drink wine in this world will be denied the wine of the Akhirah. There will be no wine for them in the Akhirah. وَأَنْهَارُ مِنْ خَمَرٍ Rivers of wine. لَذَّةٌ لِلشَّارِبِينَ A beautiful taste that will be given to the people who drink it. You are neglecting the wine of the Akhirah by taking the wine of this dunya. And likewise we find, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا Their Lord will pour out for them, شَرَابًا طَهُورًا A pure drink, which does not mesmerize the mind, does not take the mind away, is given to those righteous people. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ Will drink from the sealed nectar. A description of the wine of the Akhirah will be given to the muttaqeen, to the pious people who abstain from the khamr of this dunya. And likewise you find the chastisement, the punishment for the people who drink khamr. Allah has promised to whoever drinks intoxicants that will make him drink teenul khabal, will make him drink the mud of individuals. And when he was asked what is teenul khabal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the sweat of the people of hellfire, the extractions of their remnants, the juice of their body, of their hellfire will be given to these people, كَمَا رَوَاهُ Imam Muslim. تِينُ الْخَبَالِ The evil filth of humanity will be given to these people to drink. And likewise we find whoever drank khamr and got drunk will not have his prayers of 40 mornings accepted from him. And if he died, he will enter the hellfire in that state. And if he repented, however Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance. And this hadith has some wording of three occasions, the person has been given the opportunity to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith you find, رَرْغَةُ الْخَبَالِ Will eat and drink from the juices of the people of hellfire. وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمَرْ هِنَا يَشْرَبُهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ Quite simply, the person who drinks khamr, at that time that person is not a mu'min. As the ulama have highlighted that we're not labeling this individual as a kafir, according to this hadith. But at that stage, that belief, that individual is not a mu'min. At the state of drinking khamr, he is not a mu'min. And some of the people who talk about this hadith have narrated another hadith from the Sunan of Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i. Even the authenticity is questionable. But I'll mention it to understand the concept of how far some ulama have gone. If you want to use the word takfir upon people who drink alcohol, to state that the drunkard will never ever enter paradise. Even this hadith needs to be authenticated. But some ulama who write about the sharia, that a person addicted to alcohol on the basis of this hadith will not enter into paradise. Even though we are not authenticating this hadith and this concept of thinking, but it's something to look back and to read the works of the classical ulama, of what they highlight of a person who is addicted to alcohol. And that's how you find in this dunya, from 40 flogs to 80 flogs, is the punishment of those people who drink alcohol. And that's how you find the dire need of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The return of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something relevant to all of us. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد If you look at the tarikh of great personalities like Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه that in his tarikh you find that he burnt a shop that was selling alcohol and liquor that doesn't mean that we're trying to persuade people to take the law in their own hands But he was a Khalifa, and he had the governance to implement that, to burn the shop of the individual who is selling alcohol in the Islamic community. What is the Islamic state? What is the state of us Muslims before we talk about the return of the Khilafa? And this is our state that we live in at the moment. If we don't drink it, we only serve it and sell it. That's what Muslims state. I don't drink it, but I only serve it and sell it to other people. Muslims who own fully licensed restaurants, beginning from Bradford on Leeds Road, Windsor Road in Manchester, down to Ladypool Road in Birmingham, down to Brick Lane in London, serving alcohol to humanity under the disguise and pretext, I don't drink, but it's halal for me to serve it. What does the Sharia say about this? And as for those ulama who've legalized that is a small portion of haram mixed with halal, it's allowed, then this is a shad, qawl shad. This is a qawl, even these ulama muhtaram in dana, we reject their statements. Reject it right out in their face. Because what's haram is haram. To open this door, to legalize khamar in their restaurant for these people, we can see the fitna. Walk down Brick Lane, 150 fully licensed restaurants being run by Muslims, giving their money to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving the money to the imam to keep him quiet, to pray for them. La'natullah upon such people. Curse of Allah upon such people who sell the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a small price. To please humanity. That is what our society is, what we're living at the moment. Wine shops, off-licenses being run by Muslims. And no exaggeration at all. Nightclubs and bars which are controlled by Muslims. That's the state that we live in at the moment. And that's what we need to think about. That's the state of the Muslims. And if you want to know at an international level, then I'll tell you on an international level. We serve it on our flights. What do they serve on the airlines? Khamr. We don't drink it, we serve it to humanity. In our 5-star hotels, what do we serve? Khamr. يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. You destroy your own homes with your own hands. So don't talk to me about standing in defense for the Muslim land. You're destroying your own land, your own people, your own shabab, in the pretext of serving it to the kuffar. And you've become a people, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. Destroy your own land with your own hands. We don't drink it, we only serve it to them. Let them drink it inside the funduq. Under which Sharia is this allowed? Under which Sharia are they allowed to serve alcohol on a plane and justify it? Which Sharia allows this? The Sharia of Muhammad does not allow it. So on a national level we are corrupt, and on an international level we are corrupt. Except for those people that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon such people. لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بحرام. That soul will never enter paradise which has been nourished with through the use of haram substances. لا يدخل الجنة is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the hadith to clearly highlight those people who want to hide behind the selling of alcohol or working in shops or working in these environments, then listen to this hadith. كما رواه أبو داود وإمام الترمذي وابن ماجه في سننه. 10 people are cursed. Because I use the words la'natullah, curse. This is the evidence why I curse such people. Because according to the hadith, these following 10 individuals are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, one who squeezes it. Squeezes the fruits to make alcohol. Number two, one who is engaged for squeezing it. Number three, one who drinks it. Number four, one who carries it. Number five, one to whom it is carried. Number six, one who serves the drink. Number seven, one who sells it. Number eight, one who takes the price of the drink. Number nine, one who purchases it. Number ten, one for whom it is being purchased. Does this not conclude all the restaurants, all the pubs, all the off licenses, all the waiters, all the people that carry it, that indulge in haram? What else can you conclude from this hadith? I don't drink, I only serve it. We only sell it on our premises. According to this hadith, you are involved in haram. And that's what these people want to change the name. That is, drink is not really khamar. Change the name to make other beverages. This is also a dangerous da'wah that we find in our humanity. There will come a people, يستحلون الحرى يستحلون الخمر. A people who make khamar halal. Try to justify it. There's already people in the Muslim community who want to justify the drinking of alcohol. And one way of justifying it is to create labels and bottles and drinks which imitate the drinks of the kuffar. So when you leave the noble land and you enter the Western environment, they will take those drinks and think this is perfectly allowed. Because it's been designed to look at the same shape as a bottle of khamar. It's a dangerous da'wah that is going through the fields of the Arabian Peninsula at the moment to justify the taking of non-beverages, non-alcoholic drinks, which are shaped just like the bottles of khamar, the ulba, the can of khamar. So when these shabab leave that environment and they come to such Western environments, they quickly think that these substances are easy for them to take and are allowed. And finally we find that Uthman stated about how the shabab need to be aware of khamar. And we find this statement collected by Imam Bayhaqi. He narrates that there was an individual, or he stated, Uthman stated, avoid wine, for it is the fountain head of all evils. The ra's kullu khati'a, the head of every single sin is khamar. That they lived a man devoted to worship, devoted to ibadah. And a dissolute woman, a traveling woman came past and sought refuge in his area, in the house neighboring him. He sent a slave girl to find out about this woman. Then he himself entered upon this woman. And the woman had bribed the slave girl to lock the door behind this man. And she said to this individual, I'm not going to let you go free. Either you commit zina with me, or you kill my son, or you drink this mug of wine. According to the intellect, every single individual pick up the mug of wine. An abid, a worshipper, he drank the mug of wine, and he got drunk. And in a state of drunkenness, he fornicated with the woman, and he killed the child as well. Ummul khaba'ith, mother of all sins, that is what this narration highlights to us. That the beginning of the rest of the sins of humanity begins from khamar. And that's how you find he concluded, wine and iman never go hand in hand. Khamar and iman can never join together in the heart of a Muslim. And our youth is pure. And we should have fakhr. We should have pride that our shabab, that the masses of our young people are pure. But these people want to corrupt them. As you find, that 45% of our shabab, of our young people, have never used illicit drugs, have never smoked tobacco, and have never drank alcohol. In comparison to what I began with, that 89% of their youth, are youth by the age of 15, have drunk their first drink. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our ummah and our youth remain upon that state of purity. How are they going to remain upon that state of purity if people don't preach towards purity? If people don't teach the shabab, what is purity? But instead we find that people want to remove. أَخْرِجُوا أَلَى لُوتٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Get rid of these people, mutawwi'een, these religious clerics out of the city. Take them out. Clamp down upon them. Why? إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They want purity in the land of the Muslims. Purity amongst the Muslims. So get rid of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of the tawfiq to stay away from khamar in whatever context. In serving it, in drinking it, in buying it, in selling it. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He returns our shabab to stay away from such evil munkarat. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.
So just like good deeds go hand in hand, evil deeds are mentioned together to highlight the extent that if you enter into one of them, you will be encouraged to do the other action. And upon this dunya we clearly find that wherever you find liquor in general, khamar, you will find maisir. You will find gambling. You will find gambling. You will
both
find
of them
gambling.
Go hand in hand together.
You will find gambling. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His numerous bounties and blessings, that He expands the heart of the individual or opens up the bab of khayrat, that doing one good action leads to many good actions. That in the state of Ramadan, the person could be fasting and praying, recitation of the Quran, abstinence of haram, qiyamul layl, giving of sadaqah. So one good deed opens up abwabul khayr, opens up the doors of goodness. And we concluded last week, bifadlillahi ta'ala, that one sin leads on to another sin. That when you open the door of one sin, it naturally opens the doors of the rest of the sins. And we stopped in the statement of Uthman ibn Affan, that how liquor or alcohol will take you to fornication and take you to murder. And khamar and iman can never reside inside the same heart. The reason why I mention this is because there is sin which is linked to khamar. So just like good deeds go hand in hand, evil deeds are mentioned together to highlight the extent that if you enter into one of them, you will be encouraged to do the other action. And upon this dunya we clearly find that wherever you find liquor in general, khamar, you will find maisir. You'll find gambling. Both of them go hand in hand together. And likewise, and even firstly, we find the Quran, that the two ayat that we developed upon, the first ayat that we find, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, they ask you about drinking, about alcohol and gambling. So this is the evidence from the Qur'an that both of them go hand in hand together. And likewise the verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Qur'an, verses number 90 and 91. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمَرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ, that indeed in the drinking of alcohol and in gambling. And the ayat they continue. So here you find from the evidence of the Qur'an that these two things go hand in hand together. Drinking of alcohol and gambling. And that's why we find in a hadith narrated by Mujahid on the authority of Ibn Abbas. And Imam Ahmad has mentioned this fi sunanihi in his Musnad. Inna Allah haram al-khamar wal-maysir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, made it haram, the drinking of alcohol and gambling. So this is the evidence from the hadith that alcohol and gambling go hand in hand together. What is maysir? What is gambling? Many of the ulama have highlighted the meaning. Amongst the meanings or the ma'ani
or the ishtiqaq, or the evidence of the beginning, or the original root of the verb we find, or the word we find, is al-yusr, is easiness. Qala Mujahid, ishtiqaquhu min al-yusr. It is derived from the word easy, easiness. Because, لِأَنَّهُ مِنْ أَخَذْ مَالُ الرَّجُلُ بِيُسْرْ وَالسُّهُولَ وَلَا كَدْ وَلَا تَعْبْ. It is a taking of another man's wealth without any exertion, without any hardship. You can easily walk away with the winnings. That is amongst the meanings of maysir, taken from the word yusr. فَإِنَّمَا عَلْ أُسْرِ يُسْرَ. After hardship there is ease. So easily a man can take away another person's belongings. Amongst the other ulama of lughah, had I taken from al-yasar, which means richness and affluence, that a person is لِأَنَّهُ سَبَبْ يَسَارِهِ وَغِنَاهُ. It is a reason for his richness and affluence. He becomes powerful because of this wealth which is given, or this wealth that he wins. And likewise we find from the verb yasara. Yasara means to become gentle, and this was to draw lots, that the Arabs would carry out the lots of the arrows. And the fourth meaning that we find is from the verb yasr. And this was a practice amongst the Arabs of dividing things into shares and distributing them. So the practice of maysir was it existent in the time of the Arabs, whereby they would all place a share. 10 individuals would place a share inside a camel. And then it would be written victory for 7 of them, and 3 of them would be the losers. This is a common form of gambling that you found at the time of the Quraysh. So this dividing in days of Jahiliyyah, of 10 people contributing to something, 7 of them winning and 3 of them losing, is the most simple form of maysir that you find amongst these people. In basic, what we need to bear in mind, that the concept of every game which involves gambling or mischief or risk is a game of chance. Any game of chance or risk is quite simply maysir, whereby you don't know what the outcome would be. All comes under the category of maysir according to the Islamic terminology. And that's why Imam Malik highlighted, al-maysir maysaran. There are 2 types of gambling. Maysirul lahu, gambling of just wasting one's time. Games that people could play which have no value. And then you find the second maysir is maysirul qimar, the gambling of using, of betting, using wealth and using property. And here the ulama, they highlight the maysirul lahu, the gambling of just passing one's time. If you begin to introduce money into that, it becomes maysirul qimar. It becomes clear-cut gambling. So even mundane games that people could be playing could enter into gambling by the use of certain objects. And quite simply, we find in the hadith as well, or in the statement of Imam al-Zahabi in his famous book, Al-Kaba'ir, he highlights that this is a major sin. And he classifies this by bringing the hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, مَنْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. Whoever says to his friend, تَعَالَ أُقَامِرْكَ فَلْيَتَصَدَّقْ. Come, let us gamble, then he has to make an expiation. Just to say to your friend, come, let us gamble, let us entertain ourselves through the use of gambling. وَقَالَ Imam al-Zahabi, فَإِذَا كَانَ مُجَرَّدَ الْقَوْلِ مَعْصِيَةً. If just to make this statement is a ma'siyah, is a disobedience, you have to make an atonement, you have to give sadaqah for just saying, come, let us gamble. So just the statement is ma'siyah, فَمَا ذَنُّكَ بِفِعْلٍ. So what is your opinion about actually carrying out the action of gambling? So just to say to your friend, let us gamble, is a sin. And then to enter into gambling is quite evidently a major sin. And that's why we want to analyze these 2 verses. The first verse inside Surah Al-Baqarah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about gambling, about wine and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ. Say indeed in these 2 things there is a sin. إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. A major sin. وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. And a benefit for mankind. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. But their sin is far greater than the benefit that you find in the drinking of alcohol and gambling. From this ayah we find 2 important principles that the fuqaha have extracted from this verse. which concern all of us. Because gambling may not concern all of us, but the istinbat that we realize or we learn from this verse is one, is to dispel mischief is more important than carrying out of goodness. That is a principle of usul al-fiqh. To remove evil is more important than the establishment of good. Which many people fail to understand this concept of the sharia. People are always talking about development of khairat, but never removing the munkarat. It is a principle of usul al-fiqh. To remove evil takes priority over the introduction of telling people to come towards khairat. And the second principle that we learn from this ayah, that if you are forced into two haram things, أَخَفُ الدَّرَرَيْنِ, take the least of the two evils. So if you're placed in a situation where two haram things are in front of you, take the least of the haram things, is a principle of the sharia which has been allowed. That not everyone has the same weight of iman. Certain people could be forced to do certain actions, and people may label them that they are weakened in their iman. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is that weakness. But a rukhsah has been given to such people to eat khinzir, to drink khamr, to do actions of even haram, to even say words of kufr is acceptable if they've been forced to do that. Because this is a khafu dararain, to save their life or to save another individual. They may go into this disguise to help other people. It's a sharia, it's a principle of sharia that many people are failing to understand, that people could be standing for the benefit of the rest of humanity. Is a principle that needs to be revived once again. And that's how we find out what is this benefit. What is the benefit that the gambler receives? The pleasure of winning. A contentment in this dunya that I have won. And wealth is given to that individual. This contentment and this wealth is a temporal gain. In comparison to this dunya and the akhirah, it is the eternal loss. As far as the sharia is concerned. Because gambling only sows enmity and hatred amongst yourselves. And that's what brings us to the second verse inside the Quran. That you find clearly, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Shaitan only wants to create animosity and hatred amongst yourselves through the use of drinking of alcohol and through gambling. This is the evidence from the Quran. There is no khair. There is no goodness. Only animosity and hatred is brought about. And like how we find that Imam al-Jawzi in his tafsir, Zadul Masir, أَنَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الظُّلْمِ وَمَنْعُ الْحَقِّ. That gambling only brings about oppression, وَمَنْعُ الْحَقِّ, and refuses the rights which belong to the rest of humanity. Gambling overcomes the individual. يُشْغَلْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the salah. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. It becomes a barrier between the dhikr of Allah. And the greatest dhikr of Allah is as-salah. So clearly the person involved in gambling is not worried about their family, not worried about their children. So how will he be worried about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and destroy everything that they have? فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you not abstain from these abominable actions which will destroy your life in this world, will destroy your family, will destroy your wealth, and destroy first and foremost your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who believe that their wealth can be used to benefit other people. The hadith is quite clear. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, and will only accept that which is pure. So when these people believe in this concept, that I will gain the wealth, and give it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want that wealth. And if you read in tariq, in the history of the Quraysh, in the rebuilding of the Kaaba, none of the Quraysh brought forth the wealth of Ina, of Riba. All of them brought their pure wealth, because they are reconstructing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how dare these people bring their impure wealth and donate it to the masjid and say this is for the benefit of the masjid. And the end does not justify the means. Whatever you do in your life, the end does not justify it. That I win millions from gambling and I donate something to the masjid. It is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the concept of the national lottery, yanasib, as we find in the Arabic language, is any form of lottery that you find. And if you recall your memory, that the first individual who won the lottery in this country
was none other than a Muslim. And what was the fitna that he was exposed to? And he offered it to the masajid. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of them rejected his wealth. And ijma was upon this, that his wealth is haram. Don't try to donate it to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many today amongst the Muslims, they play in the national lottery. On a daily basis, people are involved inside this haram. People sell it in the news agents. Muslims who run news agents will sell these tickets, these scratch cards, the national lottery, whatever it be. People have it in their workplaces of gambling machines. It's all maisir. It's all gambling, all haram, according to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many Muslims and Muslim organizations, unfortunately, are taking the national lottery fund. It is not permissible for a Muslim or any society of Muslims to take filthy wealth. Just as they justify this is for charitable causes. Muslims should only gain their own wealth, their own pure cause, and not take any type of wealth from these people when it's been mixed with many concepts of haram. Because the concept of this national lottery is only the rich get richer. As for the second form of gambling that we find, predominant amongst the Muslims, and is visualized even on this day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, is going into the betting, the bookmakers, that Muslims will dress as Muslims, and after Salatul Jum'ah, will have no shame into entering into these arenas, entering into these environments, and placing their bets. Days of shame have been lifted. If you have no shame, fasna' ma shi'ta, do whatever you want to do. So Muslims dressed in the attire of Muslim will perform Salatul Jum'ah and enter into Mecca bookmakers. And many people, historians, they write, the whole initialization of Mecca bookmakers was to create hatred amongst the Muslims, to give it that name. Even though they're trying to remove this name. But many of the people that write the history of this name was used to incite hatred amongst the Muslims, that to name it Mecca would be something that would be despicable to them. That doesn't mean the other names that exist today of William Hill and Ladbrokes are acceptable. Gambling, betting is totally haram. And these people should have more shame that after Salatul Jum'ah, they should walk into such areas and spend their money. And the unfortunate question that many of the sports that we find today, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to write about such topics, of boxing and football. Many of these sports revolve around gambling. Most of the income revolves around gambling, irrespective of what anyone says. That is the essence of many of these sports. And likewise the sport that we find of horse racing. It all revolves around gambling. Even though we find that horse racing is a recommended sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sibaku bil khayl wal ibal was siham, and to play with one's wife is not wasting one's time. These are the four things of lahu, of pastime, which are encouraged in the sharia. To race horses, to race camels, to throw arrows, and to be playful to your wife. It's not wasting one's time. And however, we find that even amongst the Arabs of Jahiliyyah, and Arabs even the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his time, would base much of their poetry, like Mutanabbi, about the stallions, about the quality of the horses. And this all goes back to one concept. This possibly goes back to the Quran. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ دَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا فَأَرْثَدْنَا بِهِ نَقْعَا فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعَا. Have you not seen the horses that are running and panting? Have you not seen them while they are galloping and the sparks are coming from their hooves? Have you not seen the horses going into the enemy and pushing right into the ranks of the enemies? A man's best friend, according to the Quran, is a khayl, is a horse, is a stallion. The Quran promotes this. That is the concept of horse racing according to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the Arabs today breed and boast about Arabian stallions or Arab stallions. And that's how you find such an organization of the Federation of Arabian Horse Racing. Of breeding and boasting that they possess the best of horses. To gain what? To gain a name in this dunya. To gain a name in the derby. To gain a name in front of the queen. What is the concept of khayl in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To encourage and to participate in what? وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Prepare power and steed. The original word here is used khayl. meaning horses. Many of the ulama of tafsir, if you go back to the works of Imam Suyuti, Fi Durril Manthur, brings pages after pages discussing what is a stallion, what is the breed of a stallion, what is the purpose of a stallion according to the Sharia. And even goes to such an extent to highlight that Quwa. Quwa means a male horse. And Khail means a female horse. And describes all the attributes. Even the meaning of Khail today is all forms of Quwa. Is how ulama of tafsir understood this verse. But how these people understood this verse today? That their efforts are channeled in the wrong direction. They don't have a priority in what they want to do. We are no longer a society of hard workers. We've only become a society of people who want to fulfill our own lusts and desires and forget the concept of honesty and integrity. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ وَالْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد.
Amongst the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adinun nasiha, that religion is sincere advice. Qalu liman, to whom does this sincere advice belong to? Qala lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li aimmatil muslimin wa li amatihim. Advice belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His book, to His messenger, and to the leaders of the Muslims. The ulama and likewise the umara and likewise to the general masses of the Muslims. Amongst the meaning of dinun nasiha is honesty and integrity. As we find in Jamil Ulum al-Hikam of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, that not just ikhlas here does not mean to dedicate everything, but it means in honesty as well. People who are not honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be honest to ammatul muslimin. Will not be honest to the rest of humanity. People are not honest with the wealth that has been given to them, are not going to be honest to the rest of humanity. It's quite simply the lesson of this hadith. Because many people may go to the other interpretation of this hadith, but this is amongst one of the classical understandings of this hadith. People who squander the wealth of the Muslim Ummah. Who are these people who squander the wealth of the Muslim Ummah? Previous nations have been destroyed. I'm referring to nations, empires amongst the Muslims. The Abbasid dynasty, the Mughal Empire, the Uthmani reign was destroyed. Why? Because of their lusts and desires. Bear that in mind. The great palaces of Alhambra that you visualize at the moment, the buildings in Al-Hind at the moment, are all created by great empires, and likewise in Istanbul at this stage as well, are the remnants of Muslim empires which have come to a standstill. If you feel that I'm exaggerating, this is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will live under a time of tyrannical rule. You will live under a time that the kings will govern you. And then after that, it will come a time of al-khilafa ala minhajin nubuwa. Khilafah will return once again upon the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to this hadith, the final stage is now al-mulukiyya, kingdomship, that we visualize through the world, because that is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And people may highlight, why do we have a go at these people? The answer is quite simple. You are people who have been given that wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are the same people who squander that wealth. People are forever hiding behind this veil. No need to highlight these problems. The casinos that we find, whether it be card games or green tables, games of Russian roulette, whether it be inside Las Vegas or Edgware Road in this country, you find a vast input of the Arab society involved in this. We should not reject the truth. That is the haq and the reality. And even our own ulama, their ulama, have highlighted, as-safar lil-muharramat, to travel for haram things is mamnoor. When these people leave the noble land, leave the Arab land, and come to these lands to waste the Muslim wealth and to spend it on haram, is haram even according to their own ulama. Which is people neglect. Don't think the ulama are unaware that these people are just going for ziyarah. These people are leaving the noble land to squander the wealth of the Muslims, to waste the wealth of the Muslims. And that's why we find that amongst the Muslims, you don't find any registered casinos. Only in one Muslim land, and that is the country of Misr, of Egypt. The land of Yusuf and the land of Musa alayhi salam. What has happened to this land today? It is the only Muslim country registered to have casinos in its major cities. It's something to think about. That if people cannot travel to Gharb and enjoy themselves in 123 registered casinos in this country, they will travel to the land of Misr to enjoy themselves and to waste the wealth of the Muslims. And what has even happened to these Christian countries? This is a Christian country, so-called Christian country. According to the biblical teachings of Christianity, according to the fatwa of Christianity, this is what their religion teaches them, and this is what their clerics tell them about this haram, gambling inside their own country. Gambling is wrong because it is a disregard of responsible stewardship, of responsibility in the land. Number two, gambling is wrong because it involves a chance of gain at the expense and suffering of others. Number three, gambling is wrong because it is inconsistent with the work of ethic of scriptures to work hard. Number four, gambling is wrong because it tends to be habit forming. This is their fatwa. Fatwa of Nasara, of the Christians, of the turmoil and corruption that these people have created in their own country. And the passing of the gambling bill developed inside this country, or what they call royal assent. Royal assent means it gains permission from parliament that gambling is allowed 24 hours a day in this country. Online gambling. 1700 websites promoting gambling to give people easy access. Where does this wealth go? It goes in the pocket of the hukuma, of the government. These people don't want khair. These people only want to spread al-fawahish, evil things inside their society and even amongst their own people. And just to bear in mind that we have become the sufaha, that I'll mention these statistics of what is your chance of winning. Your chance of winning £8 in a fruit machine is 600 to 1. One chance in 600 for you to win £8. £50,000 for you to win on a scratch card is 2.57 million to 1. One chance in 2.57 million. As to win the lottery jackpot, one chance in 14.5 million. To win the football pools, a chance one in 7.5 million. Sufaha, foolish people. وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't give the foolish people your wealth. And that's what happened to us. But we are following the same methodology of becoming foolish like them. Whatever they use to entertain themselves, we need to entertain ourselves. Whatever they have, we need to create a substitute. There is no substitute to the Quran and the Sunnah. And we should hold fast to these teachings to come into success once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of the tawfiq to stay away from maisir, to stay away from gambling, to remove it from our society, to remove it from our industry, to remove it from our places of worship, and to speak out against this falsehood and to speak the truth, أين ما كانوا, wherever we may be. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين